Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
There's nothing quite like a big Hollywood musical. The costumes, the choreography, the lighting, the songs. The sweet musical confections made people want to dance and sing even in the rain. Like Debbie Reynolds, Donald O'Connor, and Gene Kelly.
Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning, sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning to you and you and you and you.
During this past generation, big blooming movie musicals began to look ridiculous to many audiences. They just melted away like cotton candy in a jacuzzi. Then a new crop of movie makers has found that there's nothing wrong with musicals that a hint, nay, a loud, flat-out bump and grind of sex can't improve.
My client feels that it was the combination of liquor and jazz which led to her downfall.
That's Richard Gere in Chicago, one of the hottest musicals on Broadway for the past few years, and now apparently one of the hottest films of any kind at the Cineplex. Our entertainment commentator, Elvis Mitchell, joins us from New York. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Happy New Year, although I must admit I'm a little dizzy from the combination of jacuzzi, cotton candy, jazz, and liquor right now at the outset of all this.
Well, that's why everything in moderation. Listen.
Now you tell me.
I find it significant that Bob Fosse, who was part of the tail end of the great movie musicals, you can even see him dancing in Kiss Me, Kate, the guy who made what many people consider perhaps the greatest movie musical of all time, although very much out of its time, Cabaret in the early 1970s, is now the man who was ultimately behind the story of Chicago that here in 2003 gives the movie musical a new urgency.
Well, what Fosse was really interested in is that sort of that nexus of show business that combines cynicism and sex, and that's certainly what Cabaret was about, and it was what some people consider to be the last great movie musical. It's almost 30 years old now, and what that picture did was it certainly signaled the end of a certain kind of musical convention, which was breaking into song in the middle of a passage of dialogue, because as you know, as we've talked about here, the numbers in musicals used to symbolize sex because movies weren't open in that way. There couldn't be sexual relationships. And what Cabaret said was, we don't have to separate movie sex and music anymore.
Yeah.
And this new version of Chicago actually uses a lot of the Fosse techniques. It's a movie that is exuberant about its cynicism and its shallowness in the same way the stage play was.
Slick your hair and wear your buckle shoes. A brand new start to do that. Yeah!
Curious about this. Over the past 20 years, music videos have become so popular and so much the language of a whole new generation, both in the audience and filmmakers. Why has it taken so long for movie musicals to thereby result?
Because essentially, what the music video has done is turned everything into a 3-minute climax, and those numbers were the climactic moments in those movies. And the kind of physical tension that movie musicals used to offer us, we now get in action pictures. I love musicals, and I think most people do. There's nothing like being just shaken and pulled right out of whatever it is you're suffering through. And the way that musical can do, I mean, you really forget your troubles.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy, I believe is the phrase, which is how the movie musicals began, right? They began in a dark time in America's economic life.
Absolutely. And they took the Depression and made that a part of it. You know, Gold Diggers of 1933 does the riffs and jokes on the Depression.
Let me ask you about Baz Luhrmann, of course, the Australian former music video director, made an acclaimed reworking of Moulin Rouge.
I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me.
The only way of loving me, baby, is to pay a lovely fee.
Just one night, just one night.
There's no way, 'cause you can't pay.
In the name of love, one night.
You crazy fool, I won't give in to you.
Don't leave me this way. I can't survive without your sweet love. Oh, baby, don't leave me this way.
Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman. Now this was a film that I mix genres, time periods, musical styles. I don't think there's even a complete song or dance in the film, if I'm not mistaken. But did the success of this film say something?
I think it did. I think that basically because Moulin Rouge sort of played out through the year of 2001, people turned to it because it offered a real respite from what it was they were thinking and feeling and anguishing through. I went to see it actually in a theater in Times Square to see it with an audience of young girls who were thrilled by it, because what Moulin Rouge is about, it's the antidote, I think, to Bob Fosse. It's a movie that's utterly openly about sentiment. There's no cynicism in it. This is about being dizzy, being intoxicated with the idea of love, which I think young girls really are fascinated by. And I think this is the movie that people will be talking about in 10 years. Not to say it wasn't a huge hit last year, because it was, but this is the picture, Moulin Rouge, that will really, I think, rekindle the interest in the movie musical for a whole new generation.
I'm interested in this. Catherine Zeta-Jones, Richard Gere, for that matter, Nicole Kidman, when they were making Moulin Rouge, said, look, I used to sing and dance. I love the opportunity to do this again.
There's always been an interest on the behalf of actors and actresses to sing and dance. A lot of them are trained in that way. And certainly directors have too. I mean, Francis Ford Coppola tried to do one that he wanted to break the box open with 22 years ago. One from the Heart, a movie that was so reviled when it was released, it never existed. But so many directors are attracted to the medium because it basically gives a chance to sort of go into a kind of dream time inside people's heads and hearts, and to give these characters a chance to speak these things that would be out of place in a melodrama or even in a comedy. And maybe the movie that kind of broke that open for a lot of people, the musical certainly, was Dennis Potter's Pennies from Heaven, which basically said that the characters in Pennies from Heaven, leading the most dolorous, doer, awful lives you can imagine, had these dream lives inside their head when they were beautiful, talented hoofers, dancers, and singers, and got to offer up that kind of inside sunshine.
Yes, yes, my baby said yes, yes. I'm glad she said yes, yes, instead of no, no. Next Sunday, I didn't say Monday, it's gotta be Sunday, we're ready to go.
There's this expression of inner joy, of solving a problem, of lifting ourselves outside of the most mundane, heartbreaking parts of our lives to be transformed into better, handsomer, more talented people than we are in our everyday lives. And I think that's what the musical has become.
Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment commentator here on Weekend Edition, also movie critic for the New York Times, speaking with us from New York.